in which, everyone following me so far, in which God has ordained it's through the foolishness of preaching that salvation comes. You see? But you see, the enemy tries to trick people. Oh, whenever two or three are gathered in my name, there I am also. Don't understand the first thing about the Bible. You think that's a quote about church? You don't know nothing about the Bible. Anyone who quotes, they know nothing. That's about the legal system of the context of New Testament Christianity and the Jewish legal system, because you had to have a witness for something to be testified to. They had to have two or three witnesses. So when he says two or three, I am there also, he's talking about witnesses, not talking about church. There's so much to preach on, folks. This is why in the week we have to be diligent. This is why every day we haven't got time to waste. We've got to redeem the time. You have been called with a purpose. Now, I'm led to go to Ephesians 2. Let's go to Ephesians 2 quickly. Ephesians chapter 2. And let's turn to verse 10. Or Ephesians 2. And it says, for we, who's the we? The Christians, the followers of Jesus, the believers. The believers are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Everyone understand that? We've been created for good works. We're not saved by good works, but we have been created for good works nonetheless. But good works don't save us. Which, now watch this, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Everyone understand me? God prepared good works for us to walk in. God has prepared those works, folks. Now watch. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's read from verse 9. It says, for we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. Each one. Everyone say each one.
Each one.
Everyone say each one with a bit more conviction.
Each one.
Now, everyone say it like I'm saying it. Each one.
Each one.
Listen, folks. If we need to take this seriously, okay? I'm not just doing this for the sake of it, because we need to take this. This is important. God wants to get this into us for specific reasons. This is important. If God has elected that through the foolishness of preaching, salvation comes, how many think we need to be really attentive to preaching? It's not me, it's what the Bible says. This is Bible, folks. Watch what it says. Verse 11, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which was laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, there's an array of building materials. To them who have ears, let them hear. There's an array of building materials, okay? Each one's work will become clear. Each one's work will become clear. Your work will become clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. Okay? Now, I'm preaching this, folks, for our benefit. This is the truth. This is the word of God, okay? This is what the Bible teaches, and it's plain. This isn't open to interpretation. This is plain and straightforward stuff. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. This is why I've been passionate about what I'm saying. This is why I'm saying every day, Jesus says, if a man will come after me, follow me, let him deny himself, pick up his cross daily and follow me. This is why I'm passionate about it, folks. Because I'm studying the Bible. And the Bible is making it clear. I mean, this is clear. And the thing is this, God has given to the church gifts. There's gifts in you that perhaps you haven't even understood yourself yet. But the gifts are there. And God has elected that those gifts would come forth. Ephesians says that he's prepared those good works in advance that we should walk in them. Is it plain? Is it clear, folks? It is. So then, this is clear as well. Each one's work, verse 13, will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If the work endures, he'll receive a reward. Notice the big word, if. If anyone's work is burnt, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? What he's saying is this, your life isn't your own. You hear people saying, it's my life, I'll do with it what I want. No, it isn't. It's not your life. You were bought at a price. It's not your life. Oh, well, I want to do this and that, and I want to go on holiday. I want to go and do that. I just feel like I want to go. No! Before you do anything, ask God. It's not your life. Get that wrong thinking out of your mind. You've been purchased at a price, and the price was costly. The price was the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, that's why in the mornings I'm determined to come and ask the Lord for what his will is for the day that lies ahead. And I encourage us to pray. Every day with diligence, pray. Look, the Lord has prepared this for us. There is coming a fire. Whatever you've done, it will be tested. By the fire. Now, what happens in the churches is people have bravado, they have affairs. They say, well, I don't agree with what he said today. You know, he's got, you know, I think it means this, I think it means that. Yeah, well, you keep on talking. And then one day you'll find out the Bible says is plain. Okay? I'm giving good instruction here, straight from the Word of God. And if you're wise, you take it on board. And if you don't like it, good. That means a change is going to happen. If you yield, if it offends your flesh, perfect. Because your flesh isn't right. It needs to be buffeted, as Paul says. I buffet the flesh. Buffet your flesh. That the works of God will be shown in our lives. You know there's people that God has, there's works that God has prepared for you in advance. People that God wants, I can't speak to them. But you can speak to them. If you spend that time in prayer in the morning, you're spending an hour in prayer in the morning, you're spending an hour perhaps, you're getting up earlier, you're doing Bible studies, and yes, the flesh doesn't like to. Yes, the flesh is saying, oh, I don't want you. I don't want you. Buffet the flesh. Do things that will withstand the fire to come. Do things that will withstand the fire. The truth is, the church in this country, soft. If you want to be a soft Christian and just softly, softly through life, your choice. You do it. You're up to you. I can't live your life for you. But if you want to follow Jesus, as the Bible says, then pick up the cross daily. The flesh hates that saying. I see some people's faces, they wince when they hear that. They try and contextualize it away. Listen, the cross is an instrument of death. Death to the flesh. That's what the cross means. It says, you want to follow me? It's a spiritual life, he's saying. It's yielding your life to the Holy Spirit. It's saying, not my will be done, but thy will be done. I surrender all to you, Lord. It's not my will anymore. It's his will. I pick up that cross daily and follow him. Not for the works of the flesh, but for the life of the Holy Spirit. That I would be spirit-led, spirit-filled. You know, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, it's not a feeling of tingly feeling in my hands and tears running down my face. That's not proof of being led by the Holy Spirit. To be led by the Holy Spirit means to be under the control of the Holy Spirit. That's what it means. If someone is led by the Holy Spirit, church starts at 11 o'clock, they'll be here by 11 o'clock. Why? Because that's being under the control of the Holy Spirit. We had a meeting with the folks in Pakistan over Skype, the conference. They were 3 hours past the start time of the conference. And I was told that this is the way it is in Pakistan. And it's because they're praying in the Holy Spirit. They've been led by the Spirit. And I said, no, that's a lie. And I'll tell you why I know it's a lie. From the Bible. Because in the book of Acts, there's an allotted time for prayer in the New Testament. I went through it at the start of this year. Don't know if you remember or were paying attention. But those hours of prayer are biblical. They're, you can see them plain enough in the book of Acts. And what they are is 9 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 3 o'clock, the hours of prayer. Right throughout the book of Acts, you can see them referenced. When Jesus prayed his last prayer, what time was it? 3 o'clock, etc., etc. But at Pentecost, When did the Holy Spirit arrive? It was 9 o'clock in the morning, the time of the prayer meeting. 9 o'clock, punctual. That's when he arrives. Punctual. That's what it is to be under the control of the Holy Spirit. Because God is a God of order. You see, the enemy wants people to have a false sense of what it is. Now, I like freedom, folks. Trust me, my flesh, I'll mosey on down any time. Believe me. Oh, believe me. I'm really free with that. But I'd be a liar if I try to make an excuse for it. And I'd be an utter compromiser, knowing what I know, through Bible and through the leading of the Holy Spirit. 9 o'clock. That's the time the Holy Spirit arrived for Pentecost, the time of the prayer. It's an interesting study, that study. It shows that God is a God of order and he's a God of discipline. Someone tell me this. What did they call those who followed Jesus? Let me think. What were they called? Oh, I know. That bunch of hippies, wasn't it? That bunch of... what were they called? No, what did they call them? There was a word they called them. Those people who followed Jesus. What was that word? Sorry?
Disciples.
Disciples, discipline, disciples, disciples, those who had discipline. That's what it means, those disciples, they had discipline. They called them disciples, they had the discipline. That's what it is to follow Jesus. You see, folks, the flesh doesn't want to follow. The flesh wants rest. Bed, nice relaxing, don't hassle me, I'm happy as I am, thank you very much, I just like things my way. Oh, you like to go out handing tracts on a Saturday? Well, you like to do that? You like to go down the town and hand out tracts on a Saturday? I just like to do things my way. I'm not a people person so much. You know, I just relate in a different way. Yeah, sitting down watching the sports or whatever it might be. Nothing wrong with watching sports, folks. I like watching the U.S., the golf. Watch a little bit of the television. Nothing necessarily wrong with it, folks. As long as you have it. But there is something wrong if it has you. And if it has you under so much control that you are unable to walk the way that he has called us to walk. And that is the case for many. Is it plain and clear this morning? And listen, I'm not preaching for my benefit. I'm preaching because I want us to do what God wants us to do. I believe he's calling us to do something. And I believe it won't happen unless a church is united with one mind. And with a determination to follow Jesus, an enthusiasm for following Jesus. Casual, lackluster, easy come, easy go, doesn't do it, folks. If that's been your sense, leave those days, leave them. Today is the start of the rest of our lives. If you've had a casual approach to the things of God, leave it today. I don't know where you are with God. I don't know. I don't need to know. You know. Let me give you a clue, okay, about what we've just read about this in just as I close here. Just a real basic little thing about an investment. It says this, now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, from 1 Corinthians 3, verse 12 there, and then from verse 13, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. Now watch this. If you want to make an investment that's going to be built on a sure foundation with those precious things, here's how to view your life. Here's a little something you can do to view your life. Make deposits in a spiritual bank. I use this as an analogy. Like most analogies, it breaks down if you press it too far, but it may help some here this morning. We've all pretty much got bank accounts, I expect. Most of us would have bank accounts. And what happens? Well, we've had bank accounts from one time to another. And what happens? You go to the bank, you make a deposit in the bank. There you go, banker. There's the deposit. I'm making a deposit. The money, the cash, the wages is transferred into the bank account. Okay? Now then, let me illustrate it like this. There's a spiritual bank, folks. And the spiritual bank is over here. Okay? The spiritual bank is there. And I'm going to ask you to examine your life and examine how many deposits are you making in the spiritual bank? You see, we commit our lives to going to work. Most people go to work, and they go to work, and then they're making deposits in this bank. They give it 8 hours a day, let's say. 8 hours a day. There's more deposit in the bank. More deposit in the bank. But how much is the effort and emphasis on the spiritual bank? Let me explain it like this. When you come to the Sunday morning service at Living Faith Church, you may not know it, but when I see you, I get encouraged. When they see you over there, they get encouraged. When you meet them outside the coffee there and don't talk about nonsense, but you've been in prayer, you're talking about spiritual things, you're getting encouraged, and you're giving encouragement to people. See, the enemy wants you to think that what you have to say doesn't count. I'm telling you, what you have to say is important. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. They that love it eat the fruit thereof. I tell you, in one conversation outside this, there, you can impact someone's life in a great way. You can have great encouragement into someone just by being a friend to them. We're the body of Christ. We've got to meet. We've got to be together, fellowshipping together. This is vital. And when we meet together, like this is how the, if we didn't meet together, how else would the gifts manifest? Otherwise, the gifts are redundant. Some of the gifts. Helps and the gifts. There's different aspects. To service in the church. So then when we come together like this, we have an opportunity for fellowship together, to receive from one another, to receive from the ministry of the word which God has ordained is there for salvation. That's not just gospel messages, folks. That's teaching. And then, watch this, what happens is we leave having made a deposit into the spiritual bank account. So when we come here, which is God's will for us, the New Testament makes that clear, we've made a deposit in that spiritual bank account. Now then, if we choose not to come, we've chosen not to make a deposit in that spiritual bank account. Now let me ask you, would you be so casual with that bank account over there? Oh no, I'm off to work. Oh, I'm going straight to work in the morning. Yeah, well, you've got a big commitment there. How about a big commitment over here first? First. Do you see what I'm saying? Is it plain, folks, to see? Take it on board, seriously. Don't just, look, do me a favor. Do yourself a bigger favor. Don't walk out thinking, yeah, well, you know, and forget it. Take it on board. Take it in. Let it live in you. Let it shape your life. Your flesh may not like it, but give your flesh a good talking to. And say, no, I will, this is Bible Christianity. I'm going to yield my life to Bible Christianity. Tonight, we're going to do a Bible study tonight. Bible study tonight's going to be very interesting. We're going to look at the chosen people. Now then, that's another deposit in the spiritual bank. Wednesday comes. There's an opportunity for another deposit in the spiritual bank. But hold on, Monday morning, tomorrow morning, there'll be a prayer meeting at 7 o'clock in this place. Another opportunity for a deposit in the spiritual bank. How many people want to go and make deposits in the spiritual bank? I want to go and make deposits. I make a deposit. I make a deposit. This is an analogy. It's an analogy. Because I'll tell you the truth, what's going to happen is one day, watch now, one day, you'll need to go to the bank and make a withdrawal. If you've put lots of money in, you can go and make a big withdrawal from the bank. Isn't that nice? You need a lot of money. You can go and take a big, fat withdrawal out because you've been faithful in putting it in. Well, it's just the same spiritually, folks. Well, you need to make a big withdrawal now. You need a big withdrawal. Oh, big withdrawal is needed. But there's been a casual approach for a long time. And now all of a sudden, you're looking round. Hey, well, I thought the Bible says, listen, your faith is shown by the way that you live your life. Faith, being faithful, manifests lots of deposits. That's what faithfulness is. Lots of deposits. And it's not just attendance either. No. It's not just attendance. I'm talking about an attitude. It's attendance with a faithful, correct attitude. There are plenty of people who attend church very regularly. Attitude's all wrong. They're not making deposits. No. It's following Jesus. It's giving your life. It's picking up the cross daily, following him, yielding, saying, Lord Jesus, have my life. Not my will be done, thy will be done, Lord. I mean, that's the prayer in the mornings in the main, you know, we're lifting up people, but we pray, not my will, thy will be done, Lord. And then you see there's deposits going in. And then there's a need for a withdrawal. There's plenty of deposits. That's okay, you make a big withdrawal. I tell you, watch this. Listen to me. You got ears to hear. Listen. Some people get confused with this. They've tricked themselves. They've hardened their hearts to the Bible and other believers. Watch this. Faithfulness manifests faith. So in faithfulness, the believers met in the book of Acts daily. They were meeting daily, giving themselves to the word daily. There was a commitment, a passionate commitment, not a casual, well, you know, as long as there's nothing else on, I suppose I'll come on Sunday. Oh, commitment! That faithfulness manifests faith. See, I've given testimonies. I'm a boy from nothing. I'm a boy with penniless. I'm a penniless boy, folks. Hang on a bean, two beans to put rub together. I got nothing. I'm crying myself to sleep in a flat in London with a crack in the window, like a big baby. A failure. I'm the biggest, one of the biggest failures you could meet. I'm suicidal. That's the truth. I'm just a failure. And I call out to God and I say, God, if this Bible is true, if what it says is true, then I'll follow you. And it says in this Bible, it says if you follow me, you lose family and friends and homes for my sake in the gospel, you won't fail to receive 100-fold in this life. With it, there'll be some persecution. But 100-fold, I said, Lord, I don't see any of this, but if this Bible is true, help me. And he helped me. And what he did was he took me from a place of despair and suicidal thoughts into a place of hope, faith, and victory. So don't be upset if I'm passionate. Don't be upset with me. Celebrate God for the victory that he rescued me. So I try and convey it to people because I want the best for people. Not because I'm trying to have a fancy theology. Not because I'm trying to, you know, be clever. Try and give some clever illustrations. No, I'm conveying it from my heart. Because I want the best for you in your life. If you don't want the best, fine, forget it. But please don't think I can be anything other than honest, straightforward, and real. I'm not sharing with you theory. I'm sharing with you my life. And I want the best for your life. And I want the best for your children's life. Any real pastor who's really a pastor of Jesus, who's following Jesus, wants the best for you and your children's lives. That's why I'm preaching like this. I want the best for you. And I'm telling you from experience, this works. This being faithful despite your flesh, it works. You do it. It works. God is proved through faithfulness. And if you don't, I tell you this, you will lack deposits in the bank of faith. And when it comes to needing it, you won't have the resources to withdraw. Even Jesus, in some areas, because of the lack of faith, he was restricted in the amount of miracles he could do. Now, we want the best, don't we? Let's close this service. And let's close it with prayer. Let's all stand. Father in heaven, we worship and honor you, Lord. We give you all the honor here this morning, Father. All the honor for your word, the word of God. It's true. It's alive. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the promises that have been read aloud here this morning. We thank you for these promises. Father God, we thank you for what you're doing in and through our lives. And Lord, we ask this, that as you've spoken to us this morning, we make a decision with our minds and we choose to follow you with a commitment. And as we close our eyes in prayer, let's just pray this prayer together. I pray out some words. Everyone just join me. I'm sure we can all pray these words. Heavenly Father, help me in my life. to be all that you've called me to be, to do all that you've called me to do, that one day I will hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter now into my rest." Whilst we're on earth, Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit empowering us to do your will. Praise be to God forevermore. Amen.